Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We talked in the last segment why ETFs might actually be bad for your portfolio, Faisal. We better explain that because I bet that got some people's attentions.
and there is a good case for people to understand, or a good reason for people to understand how some of these exchange-traded funds are invested. More importantly, when people talk about exchange-traded funds, generally speaking, they're referring to buying the index.
Right.
And the premise that people have had, Dave, is that they've heard in the media 95% of all mutual fund managers don't beat the index.
Right.
Or just buy the index.
Right.
That's not true. The research that we've put together and we've seen does not state that. There are some benefits to long-term index investing. And Warren Buffett being one of them said, you know, just put your money in the S&P 500 and keep it there for the next 40 years and you'll be fine.
Right.
Right. It's a simplified way for the average individual.
Right.
What I think when you build wealth and you look at the risks of what the markets hold, especially after a 2017, so this is very timely, you need to look at the intrinsics of how an index is put together. And at the beginning of the show, we were talking about, we picked on Apple as our example, and we said that Apple has about 3 to 4% of the S&P 500. And as you, in that index, if you just bought that, as Apple's value goes up and they have a larger market cap, they get a larger weight of the index, you end up buying a stock as it's going up. And then when it drops, because all stocks do go down at some point.
You go up and down.
As it drops on its market weight, you start selling. So you're technically buying higher and selling lower, which is not a very good or efficient market.
Right.
And that's a big concern because they're you're actually increasing your risk. And so what people have to remember is not only is it market weight, it could be so sector focused or so biased on one sector. And when we went through the analysis of 2017, we saw there was a few names that were in the S&P 500 that happened to have the largest market weight.
Right.
Okay.
Let me guess. I'm just going to go on a limb here. Yeah. Was there some technology in the top there?
A few, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the first four.
Okay.
So Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook held the top four holdings of the S&P 500.
So what's wrong with that?
So the problem comes in is that how correlated are these companies to each other? How do they move together? Are they moving in the same direction or in opposite direction? And so when you build a portfolio, you do not want everything to move in the same direction. Because when gravity sets in, the markets fall, you're going to see the exposure of that downside. And that's the biggest problem. The recovery, this is more important about people who are in retirement.
Right.
Or transitioning to in a very short period of time, less than 10 years,
right.
That when the markets fall, because they do fall, and you have to take that as an ownership of investing, that when they do fall, the recovery rate to get back up is longer.
Right.
Because if you drop by a certain percent, you need way more than that drop just to break even.
Right.
And when you are living off your investments, you don't have an abundance of time. Because our industry has said time and time again, just buy and hold and everything will be okay. That's not the case when it comes to your retirement income.
Right.
Right. So there's a big difference.
And listen, I want to be transparent here too, because there'll be some people listening that say, hey, you guys are, you know, you're biased on this because you're industry guys and so on and so forth. And I think it's important to note that we do use exchange traded funds. We're not saying exchange traded funds are bad. We're educating about the good, the bad, and the ugly
in
these different financial instruments, right?
Yes.
So I don't want anybody to think that this is a bias. We're transparent in that. We'll use whatever products, financial exposures we need to get it. But what people don't understand is if you stripped out the top, you know, the FANG stocks, as we talked, the technology stocks out of the S&P's performance last year, you'd probably cut it in about half. Right?
The return,
that's right. So what people have to understand is there's a concentration risk potentially that you're taking on. Just be aware of it. You may want that concentration risk.
Yeah.
Okay. But people don't understand the product. It's too simple of an understanding to understand the risk that they're taking on in different passive index related ETFs.
And so what's the normal course of action we hear about when people bring their portfolios for a second opinion to us is that they go, well, look how well I'm diversified. I have an S&P 500 ETF and I bought some emerging market ETF.
Yep.
And look at that. I look great. Isn't that great diversification? And the answer is no.
No. Not at all.
Because, again, if you look at the weighting of that index, what's the number one weighting or number one and two in the emerging markets index?
Let me guess. Is Alibaba up there?
Alibaba, Samsung.
Tencent.
Those are, again, that's the Facebook of the emerging markets.
Yep.
Samsung makes more money on just the screens for Apple
iPhone,
than they do on their own product, their own phone.
Right.
So if Apple goes down because sales are not doing well, you think Samsung's going to get impacted from it?
Right.
So you're directly saying, look, I'm diversified, but I'm not.
Right, you're not. That's right. You're taking a concentration bet risk in technology.
Yeah, and so we think of it as too much of a simple idea that invest in different markets equals diversification.
Right.
No, it doesn't. Right. It actually could increase the risk to your portfolio.
Right.
And when advisors or individual investors start to think that the markets will not go down, then they're okay.
Right.
But we all know in reality, markets do go down. And when the next drop happens, we've already seen a 10% drop since the end of January.
Right, from peak. Yeah.
Right? So if it goes another 10% and you have a highly correlated portfolio, they will all go down.
Correlation. Let's talk about that. And not maybe in the nerd way that you and I would talk about it, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, why is correlation important?
Yeah, and I think when you have investments that are moving in the same direction, that's correlation. When they're inversely correlated, they're moving in opposite direction, or if they have zero correlation, they don't move in the same direction at all.
Right.
And so I think when you start to invest in a portfolio that has high correlation within the individual investments. Now, the average investor will have a collection of good ideas at a time, and they call it a portfolio.
Right.
So they bought a bunch of stocks, and they go, how does this all work together? We just bought a whole bunch.
Right.
We have no idea how they all work together.
Right.
Right? You're building a full portfolio. They all have to work together. So luckily, we have mathematical formulas that go through all this and see what's the diversification of the portfolio, how correlated is this, and what's the impacts of in the event of a downturn. So when I build a portfolio, Dave, I look at that stuff. You know, you look at the amount of how much is the market immune when the markets fall. So we can still do well when the markets are going down.
Right.
We can still do well when the markets are going up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called upside capture and downside capture. How much of it do you capture when you're when the markets are going down on the downside?
Right.
And how much are you capturing on the upside?
Right. And yeah, so this notion, the notion of, we always talk about risk and return, right? The general categories of things we talk about. It simplifies people's understanding of that. But return perhaps is a little simpler mathematical equation, but when you start getting into the risk and this notion of diversification, what does it mean? How do you measure it, right? How do you build portfolios for it? I think that becomes really, really important. So again, let's go back. We started this conversation about the potential risks in ETFs, why they might actually be bad for you. I want to broaden the conversation. We were talking about passive indexes there.
Yep.
Okay. So that's where kind of the ETF market evolved from, right? We wanted a low cost, easy way to get broad exposure to a basket of securities.
Yep.
But they've become much more sophisticated over time, right? So exchange-traded funds aren't just passive. They can also be active.
Correct.
They can be quantitatively driven, so it's driven by mathematical models.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It can be actively managed through fundamental input, right? Lots of different ways for these things to work. So it's important when people think about exchange-traded funds now, not to think just simplistically about sort of how the press generally represents them. They can be very sophisticated. All of them are financial tools. Just understand what tool you're using for the job. And if you get the tool wrong for the job, like trying to bang a nail in with a wrench, you know, it's a problem.
It can work. It might not be the right tool to use.
Right. Might be an inefficient way to do it.
And I think the ETF market has evolved so much that I think it's more of the anti-mutual fund market.
Yeah, there's some of that.
Than
for sure.
The let's go into becoming an ETF.
Right.
Right. And so that's what the problem lies when it comes to those types of investments. They're not all cheap or inexpensive.
Correct. Yeah, that's
there
right.
There are expensive ETFs out there, yeah. And there's a reason why there's a high cost for that. And you need to ask the question, why? Not just base your selection on the lowest cost, because right. that's not correlated either. Lower cost does not mean better returns.
That's correct.
And we're seeing a lot of advertising and marketing about that, at lower cost is better. Not necessarily true.
All right. Okay, I think we've hopefully we've raised some awareness there, and people can continue to do some research on that. But we do have to wrap up another show here. Before we sign off, let's maybe invite all of our listeners out to our next seminar.
Yeah, our five-pillar investment approach talks about this diversification, minimizing downsides, protecting you along the way, as well as making you money on the good times too. So we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seat, so give us a call, 966-8400, 966-8400, or go to our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, and all of our past segments are there as well. You can have them directly delivered to you by searching for More Than Money CHQR on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.